Hello and welcome to Listen New Podcast, The Guest. Each of these episodes will feature a different guest in conversation with someone that really knows them. We are recording this episode after dinner with our friends who have stayed on to listen to tonight's chat. To introduce myself first, I'm Cora Delaney, founder of EYC Limited, a creative agency built for the new era of brand and talent management. And this evening I'm speaking to my longtime friend and client, Leo Mandela, aka Gully Guy Leo. I added that bit in myself. I met Leo 5 years ago when he was 14 years old and already had a huge character that was contagious. We were immediately friends. I saw the potential and where he could go in his career, so we decided to work together. He's been my client and close friend ever since. Welcome to the guest podcast, Leo Mandela.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
For those who don't know your journey, tell us your story.
Wow. It all begins when I was 13, just turned 13. And I remember I started seeing people wearing like Supreme and just cool clothes, really. And I've always been a bit of a weirdo. Like, I used to have a Moshi Monsters YouTube channel when I was about 9, where I'd review like little figures on YouTube.
Also going to waiting outside people's hotels.
You are... Okay, let me write. Now you've said it, I mean, no one really knows this. It's very, very weird. When I was about 11, me and my best friend Jackson would do something called stalking, where you'd camp outside celebrities' hotels in the hope to meet them.
Say who it was, though.
So the first person I did was Ollie Mars. And I remember I waited 9 hours in a sleeping bag with Jackson, and he walked past and went like that. I was like, cool. I was like, thank you. The next person was Nicki Minaj. And I remember when we thought we knew where she was staying, and obviously I was so oblivious to what celebrities do, but they have like decoys and stuff so people can't follow them. Anyway, I was sat in a bar and I was just having
a
drink.
Sat at a bar?
Not in a bar. I was 11, I was having a Coke. Okay. And this woman comes in and I'm like, that's Nicki Minaj. And she's on her own, so obviously it wasn't. And that was like 14 hours. I remember I waited from like 4 a.m. and I didn't even see her.
At what point do you decide to just call it a day?
My mum texts me like, where am I? She's like, it's late now, come home. But yeah, that was, wasn't going to bring that up, but thanks, Cora. So that was about 11, then I realised that is not something I can do for the rest of my life. So I was like, I need to do something now. So yeah, I started seeing people wearing a lot of Supreme. And then I think, I remember I just went down to London one day when Supreme, because obviously before, like this day and age where Supreme doesn't have the kind of hype because they stopped like camping and stuff. When I went down and there was like a 2-day queue for like the first drop, I think it was fall winter 15, I wore this like butterfly tracksuit and it just went everywhere on Instagram and then people started following me. I think it's because I was literally a 13-year-old and people were like, how does this kid have money? And obviously people presumed it's like mummy's money, but I just kind of resold a lot of clothes. So yeah, I started wearing, Daisy's still laughing at me camping to meet Ollie Mann.
The picture of you and Joey Essex on your mantelpiece.
Oh my God. And this one's even worse, but people know this. I was obsessed with Joey Essex. Like, I fancied him, yeah, but obviously I didn't know that. I had a picture of me and Joey Essex framed on my mantelpiece. And my mum was like, we're taking that down at Christmas. I was like, no, we're not. Like Christmas decorations and just like this like horrible frame as well. Have you seen it? It's like ancient.
I've got the picture saved like many times on my phone.
Did a lot of things before I kind of made it to the fashion world. And then kind of just kept going back on Thursdays, skipping school, which was naughty, but worked there, didn't it? Yeah, naughty, naughty.
Did your school not say, why are you never here on a Thursday?
I used to say to my mum, I was like, Sarah, like, I need
Sarah.
To... She'd be like, Sarah, please, one more Thursday off. And she was like, no. I was like, I promise it'll be worth it. And school were like, this is a weird, unusual pattern of a kid missing every Thursday for like literally 2 months. And every Thursday, a new picture would come out of me on Instagram. I'd be like, that was from the weekend. Obviously not. So yeah, kept going down, then gained a little following. And I didn't really do it. Like, I didn't even know you can make money off it at all. Or, like, it was a profit. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it could be a job. I literally was just wearing clothes. And, you all knew what I looked like. I was a very unusual-looking kid. Like, 4 foot nothing and, like, no eyebrows. And never took my beanie off. People thought I had no hair and stuff. So, yeah, kept going down to London, blah, blah, blah. And then met Cora and kind of where it took off.
Rest is history,
yeah,
maybe.
Exactly.
What was your defining moment?
Oof.
In your career, I'd say maybe when we went to LA in South Korea.
Yeah, that kind
of like cemented.
Because I used to think that defining moment was like getting likes every week. But when I kind of realised what you can do, that wasn't the case at all, because it was like the first paid job I ever got, and it was to LA, and I'd never been abroad till I was like 15, 14.
Wait, that was your first time ever abroad, wasn't it, working?
Ever. And when Cora was like, yeah, we're going to LA, and I was like, cool. I was thinking like, how much a flight? Like how much for the job? And then she was like, no, everything's paid for, and this is what you're getting. I was like, what is going on? And I think, to be honest, I think that is true. I was like, this is actually a thing now. And then like 2 days later, we landed and she was like, we're going to South Korea in a few days. And I was like, okay. Bloody hell.
And then we literally were just on holiday for the next 3 years.
You're doing the most stupid stuff.
Literally. What's your thoughts on influencer industry today? I think it's a lot different to what it was
so
when you first started.
So much different. There's just so many influencers now, because like we always say, like, I think I took off because I was like a niche. No one was doing it, if you think about it. Like, it just wasn't a thing, buying clothes and taking photos like it.
I don't think anyone at your age was doing it.
People were like taking photos in the clothes, but nothing really serious, you know what I mean? And then nowadays, there is just like every man and his dog is an influencer. It's not a bad thing, but it's just like so much more competition, so many more like people doing one thing. Do you know what I'm saying? So if there's like a new outfit comes out, there's 20 17-year-olds wearing it. But before,
20,
when I was, not
20,
but like,
thing.
Yeah, like, 20, you know what I mean? Like, 20, well, like a lot more. But back when I was doing it, it was literally just me and a couple others, you know what I mean? And I think that's what it was. So it has changed a lot, but not for the worse, but just a lot more competition.
What do you think about the word influencer? I don't hate it. I don't understand where everyone's beef is with it. It is what it is to me.
Yeah, it is what it is. I think people wouldn't care if cool kids didn't say, like, oh, I'm not an influencer, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just people who, like, kids who look up to other influencers and, like, people who are cool. Not necessarily people who have a following, but they know are like friends with the right people and whatever. That's what makes it uncool. But I don't think it's bad. I'll say I'm an influencer. But I think if you are an influencer, it's good to kind of branch out and do other things, because when you get asked what you do, it is cooler to just say like a DJ or, do you know what I mean? Just have a few things to do rather than just take photos. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. what is your thoughts on the resale market? Obviously, that's how you funded the beginnings of your career.
That was literally how I made money back in the day. Like, I'd buy a piece of clothing, and I was like known for it. People would be like, oh, I'll see this on Depop tomorrow, and you would. I'd buy a piece of clothing, wear it, get my photo, and then sell it for like 200 quid more. And eventually I was making like decent money off it. But then when I started making money from like posts and stuff, I don't really do it now. But I think it has died definitely nowadays. Like Supreme, some of the hype stuff you can buy for retail or like 20 quid over, but before it would be like upwards of £1,000.
Do you remember when I tried to resell something?
Got scammed.
The only time I've ever tried to resell something, I literally got scammed, and like it cost me money. I was like, right, this ain't for me.
What was it? The Gucci Mane t-shirt or something?
Yeah, like a Supreme t-shirt, which I was probably making about 30 quid on.
Cora messaged me like, what do I say if someone says they haven't received the item? I'm like, provide the tracking. She's like, I haven't got it.
Tracking? Why would I have tracking? That's ridiculous. Anyway, collabs have been popular in streetwear for years. We're seeing more of them in luxury fashion. What's your opinion on fashion houses like Versace and Fendi collaborating?
I think it's sick. I really like it. I think, why not, innit? Do you know what I mean? I think people get like angry because it's like they shouldn't be doing that or whatever. But I think it's cool. I don't really have a problem with it.
I think people are just confused. Like, why would they be doing
that? Yeah. I know what you mean. They're kind of like their own brand. But I think nowadays everyone's just doing whatever they want. Do you know what I mean? I think it's cool. Don't really hate it, but I don't buy it. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't buy it, but I don't hate it.
When you started your journey, you were the first to put your post out and the first to drops. What is your relationship with streetwear now? Because obviously you've progressed. You're not so streetwear now.
I think I've changed age. My style's changed as well, because being like going on 20, I can't.
Going on 20.
You know what I'm saying, though? It's different to wear like full pink tracksuits every day of the week if you're becoming an adult. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of fix up sometimes and look a bit sharper. So I still wear, I still love Supreme, I still love tracksuits, whatever. But I think as like this outfit, I would have never have worn 4 years ago, because it would have looked weird in a way. know what I mean? Because like, I was very small. I wish someone could see my height, like, compared to what I am now.
You were, like, literally, like, a foot smaller than me when we first met.
I was smaller than Cora, yeah. I was a foot smaller than Cora. When I first met
and
Cora...
And over the time, I just was getting smaller. I don't know if I was getting smaller or you was getting taller.
But, yeah, I've definitely... My style's definitely changed. Still love streetwear, but I've just... As I've progressed, my style's progressed. Do you know what I mean?
How do you think the streetwear culture's changed over the last 5 years?
Well,
people aren't obsessed with it as much, are they?
What, now?
Yeah.
Yeah, not at all. I was going to say that. Like, so, do you remember what it was like back in the day?
Do you think it's because Supreme stopped letting people camp out and stuff like that?
I think camping and all that was a major thing into why streetwear was so, like, desired. Or, like...
It was like a community. More.
Yeah, I also do think, like, the bigger influencers, like... ASAP Mob and all that, who used to wear Supreme day in, day out, they don't do it anymore. Do you know what I mean? So people kind of, obviously people follow that. But I think back in the day when you could camp, there was this kind of thing in people's heads where they thought it was more hype than it was just because people were waiting 2 days to get it. But now you get given a ticket and you go there at your time, 10 minutes, you've got your item. And there's so much more now as well compared to what there was. Like, I remember when like Boxogos would release and stuff, there would be like 3 of each colour, but there's definitely more now and it's easier to get them. People have more connections. So hype just isn't there. People still like it, like buy it, whatever, but it's just not the same kind of desire to get it.
You've spoken a lot about online hate and bullying on social media. Do you still get that? And how do you deal with it?
I feel like
you don't get it as much now,
nah,
do you?
I think people realise that I genuinely do not give a flying... Do you know what I mean? Because I just don't. Like, it's... people used to be, like, albino and, like... Do you know what I'm saying? Just, like, the meanest...
Not that that's a bad thing.
No, but I'm saying, like... They used to call me every name under the sun, like, it's horrible stuff. And it actually never fussed me. Sometimes I'd see it and it would be, like... Like, people would be like, you're a fail to your parents, all you do is take photos. And it's like, cool, thanks. But as I literally just ignored every DM, I know it's easier said than done, because some people, like, well, you've seen, like, people do horrible, sad stuff over it. But for me, I genuinely just never got fussed by it. And I think people realised that over 5 years, commenting, you won't get a reply, you won't get a response, and it's just not worth their time. I still get the odd comment, more so recently, like, I had it awful the other day. But it just doesn't fuss me, and I think you kind of notice that, because people will only put energy into hating on someone if they get a response. Like on TikTok and stuff, you see people replying, like shouting at their phone to hate comments, and it's quite entertaining sometimes. So I think people keep just doing it and doing it, but if you're getting nothing, you're putting nothing in.
Do you think social media platforms should be doing more to stop it?
I think there's only so much you can do, because you can hide comments, like you can filter out words, like horrible things, but... To an extent, you can't filter out like DMs and like people who see you in the street. Because I know people who get shouted stuff in the street, and you can't do anything about that, because you can't like mute someone. You can't be like, please don't say that to me, because you know it's coming. But I think there should maybe be a bit more like, I think big things like TikTok don't really do enough like online stuff about hate and all that. I don't really see it enough, and I see so much hate on that app specifically. But there's only so much you can do, and I think social media platforms are doing it already, but you can't avoid it, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You're in the Gucci beauty campaign wearing Nail Varnish. Mm-hmm. Although it's becoming increasingly common, for some people it's still a rare thing to see. Was that a conscious and deliberate choice?
Well, I just really like wearing nail polish. I think people are like, oh, like, done that, like breaking barriers and stuff. I'm just like, nah, literally.
When you first started wearing it, everyone thought it was like this huge thing, and now literally everyone.
I know, yeah. Because remember, I did it back in like, and do you remember I got one black nail because I was scared? And every time I saw Cora, I was like,
I think we went to St. Lucia.
Oh my God. I went to St. Lucia with pink toenails. And Daisy was out. I was like, why did I do this? And a fake tan as well. Oh my God. A spray tan and bright pink toenails.
I was wondering why people might
be
looking.
I was wondering why people...
In flip-flops as well, like... And then locked himself in the hotel room for the rest of the duration of the holiday.
God, yeah, that was a silly, silly decision. But yeah, no, I didn't do it for any reason. I didn't do it to, like, stand out or for people to be like, wow. I genuinely did just like it. And I know it might come across like I've done it to kind of stand out or whatever, but I've been doing it for years, and then Gucci were like, do you want to do it? And I was like, of course.
It literally freaks me out when you don't have nail varnish on.
I know, it's weird.
On
or
your
like
toes.
A pattern. But yeah, just kind of, it became my thing a little bit as well, because I did get a lot of hate for that at the start, to be honest. And I noticed people, like from my school or boys from my area, who once would be like, you can imagine what they said about wearing nail polish as a boy, and now they do it, so it's like, cool.
What's your thoughts on where genderless fashion is going? Where do you hope it will get to?
I think it's cool. I think anyone should wear anything, really. Do you know what I mean? And everything's becoming unisex now. Like, brands are just making... Like, you can't really say nowadays, it's kind of difficult to say that something's male, do you know what I'm saying? Like, for men or women, because anyone can wear anything. And there's a lot of celebrities, like Jaden Smith, was wearing skirts all the time. And I think people are just slowly realizing in 2021 that it's just so stupid to, like, be like, do you know what I'm saying? Comment on what people wear, what people want to do, because nowadays, just do what you want.
Was there a specific moment that you realised you love fashion and wanted to use fashion to express your own unique style?
I just loved it because I could really stand out, because people like a few years ago were wearing the same thing over and over again. And I was just like, do you know what? This is boring. I want to do my own thing. I want to wear what I want to wear. And people really liked it. And I thought it was cool because people would message me and be like, you've inspired me to wear what I want to wear. And that was so weird, but also sick, and it made me keep on doing it. So I think that would be it. Do you think
maybe also like being in the basement and like having that community and talking about fashion and stuff was different to talking about your friends at home?
That was quite lucky. I think that definitely pushed me and kind of kept me going, because if I didn't have the basement or like my Instagram and I'd still like the clothes, like just like I did, because I did, I definitely wouldn't have pushed with it, because it would have been difficult to kind of talk to boys in my area that were just in skinny jeans and like, do you know what I'm saying? Like lived in that kind of thing. But that's definitely a good point. That kind of kept me going, because I had like a community of people who loved what I did and made me realise that I'm not a weirdo.
And who inspired you when you began loving fashion? Not Joey Essex.
Not Joey Essex.
It literally was Joey Essex, but it's fair.
It was like...
We love Joey.
Yeah, we love Joey. Joey's my guy. Probably just like... It's very like all stereotypical, but growing up, I listened to a lot of like Tyler and like Pharrell and like ASAP Rocky. And those are like kind of like the OG people who wore like Supreme and all that kind of thing. So seeing them really inspired me to kind of just not care. And it sounds so like what everyone else says that's into fashion, like, oh, ASAP Rocky inspired me, but he's always been dressing cool, do you know what I mean? And like that kind of thing. And it was definitely as well like the basement and my Instagram popping off, which kind of inspired me massively to just keep going and kind of wear what I want, because people don't care, and there's always going to be someone out there who likes what you do, no matter what it is.
And who inspires you now? I feel like those people that you've said kind of have grown as well, and like their style has changed as well.
They've
so they're
changed.
Probably still the same people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Pharrell always dresses sick. Tyler's cool as hell now. And they're all kind of wearing much more like formal stuff, like sweater vests, which I love. But before, like back in the day when I was wearing Supreme, they'd all be wearing like pink tracksuits or pink hoodies. But also just like being like around all my friends and stuff, because all my friends do cool stuff, own cool brands. And when they send me stuff that I didn't even know existed, I'm just like, that's cool, put it on and it fits. So I just wear it.
Lucky then. What's your thought process when you get dressed? How do you decide what to wear? And this brings me to think about when we were in Paris and we literally had a floor-drobe with like chicken nuggets swimming through it. And the lady from the brand had to come into our room to talk to us. We were literally mortified.
Nah, if you guys could... Bob's got a video of the room.
It's the most embarrassing thing, and now I'm thinking about it.
There was literally like a chicken nugget laying on Cora's knicker.
We were literally still drunk. And you just like picking up like Gucci trousers, like Versace t-shirt. Like, I'll just put this on them and it just looked great. But I don't think, you don't really have
people sometimes say to me like, does it take you ages to plan them? And honestly, sometimes I'll just go into my wardrobe, look at that, put it on, doesn't fit, try something else. And a lot of the time when we'd go away, it would be like a joint effort, wouldn't it? Because I'd be like, this look good. And you'd be like, you look literally terrible. I'll take it off.
Yeah. I'm like, gully guy who?
I used to do things, like wear outfits. And people, like some of my friends would be like, it looks cool. Obviously just saying it. Then I'd go to Cora and she'd be like, why are you wearing a beret? Take it off.
Like, but also it might be worth talking about how your mum has literally let you take over the entire house.
Oh my God.
Leo doesn't have a walk-in wardrobe. Leo has a walk-in house. Because it's literally like...
And if you saw my room, I mean, I don't know who's been to my house here, but it's a box.
It's a single bed and a tiny space that you can shuffle through. That's it.
Yeah, so my living room is literally a walk-in wardrobe now. There's shoes everywhere. My garage has been taken over. I've got my DJ decks on the kitchen side. I feel bad. I need to move out, to be honest. I'm moving out of the place.
You should have moved out 5 years ago. But...
every opportunity.
The kitchen's a DJ booth.
Yeah, literally. I'll have to send you some photos. I'll insert, hopefully. It's ridiculous. But yeah, shout out Sarah. She's a real one. Sarah and Paul, they really, really helped this procedure.
How do you shop?
God.
I mean, if we go shopping, it's literally like, I'll have that one, I'll have that one.
When we used to, like before Corona, we'd go away literally every day, we'd be like, we'd designate a day to shopping, wouldn't we?
Yeah, 100%.
And we'd go to like, Rodeo Drive or like Paris.
Because you used to be like, you know, I can wear this and I can resell it and, you know, it's like a clever way to shop.
Yeah.
You're always thinking about the fact that
and that's still,
you
that's
can
still
resell.
A thing. So I think that's really lucky, to be honest. But most of the time, I do just buy what I like. I don't ever buy really full outfits unless I'm going on like a night out and I'm really thinking about it. If I see something, I'll just buy it. I never think like, I'll wear this when I'm shopping. I will just buy it. But there's not really a procedure, is there, really? Just like what I like, I'll just take, go into
you
Prada.
You just have whatever you want. In every episode of this podcast, the guests will answer questions on their fashion love life. Luckily, not your real love life. So for our final section tonight, I'm going to ask you about all of your fashion loves and flings.
Okay.
Tell us about your first crush. Can you remember the first piece of clothing that you really loved? And if you don't say the butterfly tracksuit,
I was going to say that. That was the first one. That was what made me, basically. If it wasn't for that, I don't think it would have took off. But yeah, the butterfly tracksuit, literally, like you said.
And talk about the fish video.
Oh my God, so this is how I knew I loved Corey and I knew she's gonna be my friend. I've got a very unique sense of humour. Some of the jokes people crack, I'm like, and then everyone else is laughing. Anyway, this is one thing I liked. It sounds very bait, but there was a Supreme North Face drop and it was like, there's like a bum bag that came around here and no one's gonna laugh in the room, but you might.
I think you need to reenact it though,
I bought this bum bag. And I remember being in the basement office, I think, and I'd met Cora a couple of days. It was quite recent, wasn't it? We didn't really speak
I'd
a lot.
I'd seen you in Supreme.
Yeah. And
I thought, whose child is this? Whose
child is this? So yeah, I was wearing this bum bag and I remember, I don't know who took a video. I think it was Jake. And I was going like, fish, £1 fish.
No, do it properly.
Can I stand up? Oh, shit. I was going, £1 a fish, anyone want a fish? And I had this bum bag on and no one replied. It had like 20,000 views in like an hour. And I remember having one reply from Cora and it was just ha 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 for like three lines.
I genuinely thought it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Like, I love Cora because no one else found it funny.
And I was like, I'm also messaging like a 13-year-old child, so it's also a bit weird, but...
I was literally 13.
Yeah, that's actually weird. Look, in retrospect, a bit weird. Probably not going to do that again.
Very weird.
Have you ever had a holiday romance? Is there anything you've worn while you were away and then regretted it when you came back?
Yeah, and you're going to really hardly agree with me on this one. No, in LA when I was going through my cardigan and old man hat phase and you hated it. Corey,
you literally saw Tyler wear it once and then decided you were going to wear it every day for 3 months. I was like, can you actually just stop now?
Corey used to be like, she's like, you're literally like a 14-year-old who's known for wearing tracksuits. Why are you wearing old man hats?
Oh yeah. It was like the quickest turnaround ever. Like just tracksuits every day and then like a corduroy suit. I was like, it stop.
Then we got back and Court was like, you actually just stop this. And I was like, yeah, I do. So that was like my holiday romance. I think that was just America, wasn't it? Or did I do it?
I'm trying to think. There's been a few for sure that I haven't liked.
Berets you didn't like. I was doing that in America here and there.
Yeah.
What else was I doing? I'm trying to think. I've had questionable outfits and you've been like, what are they?
I know, after we have this, it's going to all pop into my head and I'm going to say, I wish I said that so much.
But the main one is probably old man cardigans.
Yeah. What is the one thing that got away? Is there anything you really wanted but missed out on because it sold out?
It didn't sell out, but it's a really, really tragic story. I used to have this Louis Vuitton Chapman Brothers shirt with the animals on it.
Listen to what happened.
This is what happened. So it didn't sell out, but it was my favourite thing in the entire world.
I think about that every day.
I wore it all the time. It fits so well.
Where is it?
Anyway, I got battered at Chilton Firehouse I remember I didn't want to wear it because I was going to like a less formal event, put it behind the cloakroom at Chiltern, went back the next day. I was like, is it here? And it wasn't there.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They said it's not there. It got taken. There. Gone. And I think naming no names, but I think the people who I was in the hotel with at the time definitely did a little...
Was that before or after you were sick on the carpet?
Oh my God, way before the Brita Award. Oh, this photo, oh, I wish we could like hologram photos in the air right now.
We're going to have to send you photos to put on the
I was
the
in
Chiltern
Firehouse for the Brit Award after party, like, oh, gives me shivers. And I was like, I'm going to be sick. Cora was like, get him a bucket. They were like, nah. Cora was like, you're going to be sick on the floor then.
Wearing a bucket hat.
And a pink
sunglasses,
suit.
Sunglasses, a pink suit, a bandana, like fallen into the wardrobe and put on everything possible.
And there's this photo of Cora like this, holding my shoulder.
I had a champagne glass.
Falling like... out of my mouth onto the Chiltern Firehouse floor.
Do you have a current object of desire? What are you lusting after at the moment?
Bloody hell. Fiery one. what am I after at the moment?
Ooh. This is the person that literally has everything, so that's why you can't think
it
of anything.
It is difficult. It was the Prada dungarees, but I got them. Secured. Probably these Dior loafers that have just come out, actually. They're like monogram here, but they're sold out everywhere. Not that special.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you remember when Pharrell did them Chanel ones?
Oh, yeah.
You really? Why didn't we get them? They were too expensive.
They were way too expensive at the time. I would have bought them now. But then I remember, and they're really hard to find in my size because they made them in smaller sizes because they didn't really release many here. It was more like a China release, like massive, like in over there. So those were really hard to get. I'd still buy those if they came up now. And do you remember when we went to Fendi in Milan and they gave me that jacket and the thing came around the head here with the cap built in? It was monogram. But imagine that now with Corona.
Was that hungover?
Yeah. well, there was it's such a nice jacket and it had like a face guard built in, and I'm thinking because of Corona.
Wait, did you wear it to the show?
No, they didn't give it to me. They're like, we'll send it to you in October.
Right, I'll be on to them then. what is your lifelong love? What would you never sell? And this is when I was going to bring up the animal print Louis Vuitton shirt.
I would never have sold that if it didn't.
Yeah.
So sad.
Is there anything you can think of that you've had for since you were 14 that you haven't sold?
I've sold a lot of my stuff, haven't I? What have I never sold?
Do you have any of your early Gully tracksuits that you made or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, I'd never sell those. When I made some merchandise, I had like Gully tracksuits. I've still got loads of those. I made when I was 15, I want to say. Paolo, it was about the basement pop-up. Do you remember that? And I did like a pop-up thing of like t-shirts with Nokia cell phone tees on. Definitely if I did it now, I'd get a very large cease and desist with Louis Vuitton monogram print in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd never sell those because that's like a memory and something I'm really proud of. Not now, I wouldn't make it now, but it was my first thing that ever sold out and was really special. But clothes-wise, sounds really weird, but when we went to Burberry in New York, they gave me these brown cords.
Mm. And with the I've wide ones.
So, yeah,
and
yeah.
I have the Burberry jacket still from that, yeah.
And I'd never sell those because they fit amazing and nice memory as well.
Yeah, good. Well, it's been so nice to talk to you tonight, even though I talk to you every single minute of every single day. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
It's been very fun. Thank you for having me.
I can't wait to listen to the other episodes.
Neither can I.